శ్రవణమంగళం శ్రీమదాతకం గురు గ్రంథి భూషితాజన. So one of the most important things is we constantly ask ourselves, ask also other people, am I making spiritual progress? We have to discuss this subject all the time, understand it, and then find out how to find out. For any progress, we have got some instruments, we have got some indications, signboards, you know, even for when we are driving, we have got so many miles for this destination, then you turn here, you turn there. Exactly, that's why it is called GPS. So how do we know? What Yatishwana Maharaj has given two hints. Always he used to speak about this. Two points he used to say. First point is, find out your center of consciousness. We'll discuss it. Find out about your center of consciousness. Second is constant self-awareness. First point is find out your center of consciousness. Second point is constant self-awareness. You know, this again, this GPS will find out. Find out your center of consciousness means, say, you have a destination from where you are starting. If you don't know where you are, then of course this machine finds where you are, it knows, it's only a knowledge. But do we know where we are? If we don't know, then how do you make directions? Suppose this machine, it doesn't know. Imagine this machine doesn't know where from where you want to drive. Then it asks, where are you now? And then only you input and say, I am in this place. And then, where do you want to go? Then only it will calculate the routes, etc. Is it not? Common sense. In our case, what happens? We neither know where we are, nor know where we want to go. So, Yatishwana, this is, I don't know how many of you, most of you must have read Meditation and Spiritual Life. And that's what he used to speak all the time with the devotees. It is only an elaboration in different ways. What are the problems we may encounter on the way, and how our subconscious always tries to guide us, but at the same time hides. We are not aware of our subconscious. And then we have to be self, every minute you have to be conscious while driving. You may be thinking, I am driving all right. You may be all right also. How do you know that from the side, some drunken fellow is not coming and going to crash into you? What is the analogy? Analogy is, your mind may be all right. Suddenly some object will come. Either an object which will tempt you, or an object which will destroy you. Either way. So you have to be constantly, every second you have to be. What happens when you are driving and for 1 second you forget yourself? Anything can happen. Within 1 second, hundreds of vehicles can, you know, that's what happens, foggy night and all that. Mohamai kuhunisa visala kala vipula soyo khoyoso anupa rupa supana jupare. He is only describing our condition. First, what is center of consciousness? Simple. I gave you this example. Find out where you are. That means, where is your present consciousness? Where is it centered around? How to know? You analyze your dreams, you analyze your desires, you analyze your reactions. So you analyze your actions, analyze your reactions. If a man's center of consciousness is a simple example, money. His whole plans will be how to make more money. Suppose, another example, in your office, this person is aiming for promotions. He wants to step over everybody else. 24 hours, what is he doing?
Constantly thinking about the
work. Not only thinking, his actions. How to please the boss. And how to all constantly come into his focus of attention. Is it not? Yeah. Anywhere like that. Suppose you know, you want to attract somebody. So you can't sit to stand behind a curtain and you get attracted. Nobody is going to even to take notice of you. You want to be taken notice of hundreds of times. So you dress in a particular way, you speak in a particular way, and all going on. So find out actions, then reactions. What is reaction? Somebody comes and then they see if you are what is called intent on making money, then even some people insult you, try to trample you down, you will not care. You will not take offense so long as you can make money, bucks, as they call it. This is all, we are all constantly doing it. So, I remembered one incident, you know. The real incident, it happened. Bombay is the financial capital of India. So, all swamis go to Bombay for collecting money. Because that is where all these big merchants, Marwaris and everybody. There are some very, very devoted Marwaris. More or less, they are the people who give for everything. So Swami Sambuddhanandaji, one of our Swamis, for a long time he was head of that center. Naturally, any Swami from any center has to go there. And he will request, Maharaj, we need funds for this. So will you please, because this new Swami doesn't know. So the Swami Sambuddhanandaji says, all right, I will take you. Sometimes he used to take. He also has got favoritism, some people whom he liked, his buddies. He will himself take. If he is not buddy, he will give the address and telephone number. Go on. Like that. So once one of his friends came, Swamis, and both of them went. They went to a Marwadi's house. And the man saw from upstairs, the Swami is coming. And he knows, if the Swami visits the house, only one purpose is there. He had to pay money. So he told the Darwan, that tell that Yajamana or Korta is not there. So the watchman, he said, ghar mein nahi hai. But the Swami is much more clever than the Yajamana. So he said, we will wait. Don't worry, until he returns. And he was about to enter. Now the watchman, he understood. His master doesn't want them to come. So he pushed them. And the struggle was going up. Swami Sambuddhananda fell down. You know, the watchman would be very... This one, you know, he pushed them aside and then fell down. No Marwadi will employ a person who is like this. Because he has to be a gunda to be able to. So this struggle, the man, he felt ashamed because he had some respect for Swamis. Immediately he came down and he told the Dharma, no, allow them to come inside. So he understood that without giving some money, Swami is not going to go away. So he brought some money and gave it to him, quite a substantial money. And they went out. But the other Swami was feeling very bad. On my account, this senior Swami was treated by the Darwan like this, and he even fell down. Nothing happened. He fell down and got up immediately. So he said, Maharaj, I'm feeling so sorry for you that this happened to you. He said, it was an insult, you see. Then the Swami laughed and said, what is there to be said? we went for money, we got money. That is fine. Whether he respects or pushes her, that is not the thing. Our purpose is served. That is the most important thing. So we have to learn a lot of lessons. And it's what happens. There are people, they may be looked down by others. They may be insulted. They may be, you may not treat them properly because his intentions are clear, both to himself and to everybody else. And he also knows, we also know. But he doesn't care because so long as I get what I want, I don't care.
Well, if the source of money does not matter, if it's black money, for example.
No, it depends upon the person, what understanding he has about life. This question cannot be answered like that. A conscientious devotee will never do that. But an ordinary man, he will not feel, he says everybody is doing it. What is the problem with it? In India, everybody does it. That's why nobody feels ashamed in taking black money. You see, the point is only if a person feels this is not right for me to do, then for him, that is not the method. I'm giving an example. So long as his intention is money, even if he is insulted, he will not mind. But if his goal is to gain respect from everybody, even one small word will make him upset. What is the point? What is my point? I'm telling this. So long as his purpose is served, he will not react. See, suppose there is another fellow who is aiming for self-respect. That person will mind highly what others are thinking about him.
Very upset.
He will be very upset. Right. So even if he loses money, he doesn't want to lose self-respect. So this is an illustration to say, this our reactions to any events that happen in life depend upon where is our center of consciousness. If it is this world, if I can get worldly happiness, if worldly goals are my goals, then I don't mind. There is a saying in English language that if a good milch cow, now and then it may give a kick. But so long as my purpose is to get milk and it is serving its purpose, along with milk, I have also to take now and then some kicks. Where will you get a sadhu cow where it will only give milk but will not kick? Like Balram Basu's incident. Balram Basu employed one servant. And that servant, in those days, their salary was very poor. So he used to steal whenever he is sent to market to buy something. And he will inflate the price. And with that he will steal out of 1 rupee, he may steal 1 anna, 2 annas. And rest he will bring. So in fact, there are two incidents about this, This Ramchandra Datta employed first Latu Maharaj. Then one day, a friend of Ramchandra Datta came. His philosophy is, every servant is a thief. So he wanted to do good to Ramchandra Datta, thinking, I'm a good friend. So he called Latu Maharaj and said, you fellow, how much money did you make? And Latu Maharaj, he had no fear, and he never did this thing. He said, sir, I'm a servant, I'm not a thief. And that man felt it is terrible offense. The other fellows, Babu, you don't say anything to Bada Babu. Like this they would say. But this man simply said to his face, in a harsh way, that I am a servant, but I am not a thief. He got offended. And he went and complained to Ramchandra Datta, your servant treated me like this. Ramchandra Datta supported Latu Maharaj and said, I know that boy. He's a very honest boy. Because he was also a devotee of Thakur. So this is some direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna found this servant of Balram Basu really stealing. They caught hold of him And because they thought they were doing some good to Balaram Basu, they went, took him there to Balaram Basu. He was lying. He said, Balaram Babu, your servant is stealing some money. He did not bat an eyelid. He said, where do I get a servant who is a sadhu who will not steal money? From that day onwards, they started, we must search for a sadhu servant to Balaram Basu. So the point we are discussing is, find out. Let us find out. Where is our center of consciousness? Then how much is it involved? Is it involved in God? How much does it want God? And how much does it want worldly things? How much time is being spent in thinking about worldly objects, acting and reacting? How much time we are also spending in thinking about God-related spiritual subjects? It is not difficult. Which one affects us more? If I don't take God's name, will I lose sleep? But if I lose 1 rupee worth of something, then I feel terribly worried. Our reactions. Actions and reactions. We can find out. None of us can say that my center of consciousness is God. That is only for realized souls. But how much percentage? We are all subject to kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. None of us are free. This is the first point. Then second is that how to get up, progress. This is called progress of Kundalini from one lower chakra to higher chakra. This is what it means. Our center of consciousness is shifted from the lower centers to the higher centers. Yeah. And then the next point is that how do we know we are shifting? Sadhana means shifting the center of consciousness from a lower plane to a higher plane. How do we know? So we have to be keep a watch. Constant self-observation. What did I do? How did I react to that situation? Somebody told me something. Or somebody did not say anything. That also is a big problem. Suppose boss says, some event is going to happen and I will let you know soon. And after that he is not saying anything. It becomes a source of worry for us. If we have been chosen for some, say, promotion or some job, and we should have been the first persons to be informed. So we are eagerly waiting, but he is not saying anything. And our blood pressure is going up here. Yeah. So this is also very, if somebody says no, apply, no reply. Morning apply, evening reply. No vacancy. The second one is better. At least you know. Yes. And what is the situation? The first one is keeps on guessing you, speculating. Where will I get? Will I? They say, these funny things. A woman who loves somebody. Will I get him or not? Mm. That some leaf? What is that leaf?
Clover leaf.
Huh?
Clover?
Clover leaf.
Yeah.
Clover leaf. Three or four. that three. If she gets four, I will get my beloved.
Mm.
Like this. Our mind is filled with worry, anxiety, hope, expectation, etc., etc. So, when can we take leave of self-observation?
When we reach that destination.
And this is also useful. We will discuss that point. Suppose we are singing a song. It can be sung in different ways with different expectations. Usually professionals, if the fee is less, like your priest, if the dakshina is less, you will finish the puja very quickly. But if you give sufficient, then he will do elaborate, you know, every ritual as it should be done and all. Is it not? So like that, everywhere like that. Every action is also like that. When you are singing, if the man is expecting that others will appreciate my singing, then his mind will be on that. If somebody is conscious, there are other good singers, those who know about music, then say, oh, either am I singing according to raga, thala, etc. He is more worried, you know, in this, suppose, in this whole audience. It's very interesting observation, you know. Thousands of people, famous singers. I'll tell you an incident, you know. There is one Chitra, Kerala singer. Innava? Okkasari. Okkasari paata vinnava? Okkasari. చెప్పరా చెప్ప చెప్పరాదా నువ్వు నాకు నచ్చావని విన్నావా? దే సింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అల్లటప్ప గోంగూర ఎవ్రీథింగ్. ది పాయింట్ ఈజ్ దిస్, షీ వాజ్ సింగింగ్, ఎస్ జానకి, పి సుశీల, ఆల్ దీస్ కుమ్ములు తిరిగిన పట్టుదంటే ఉస్తాద్స్, దేర్ ఆల్ సిటింగ్, బిగ్ సింగర్స్, బిగ్ డైరెక్టర్స్. హీ వాస్ టెల్లింగ్, ఈవెన్ దో ఐఎమ్ ఆన్ ది ప్లాట్ఫామ్, ఐఎమ్ అండర్ గ్రేట్ టెన్షన్. ఎక్స్ట్రాడినరీ స్వీట్ సింగర్. ఐ మైట్ షో యూ ఆల్సో. ఎనీవే, సో వాట్ ఈస్ ది పాయింట్? If suppose there was not a one single singer in that audience, all audience only, then her attention will go to please the audience. Now even if one single good singer is present, all her attention is whether she is going to find fault with me. Same singing, same person, but she doesn't care. Her attention is, or am I singing better than hers, or she sings better than me, etc., etc. If the person is devotional, then he will be thinking about the meaning. So you see, how many ways we can sing. When we are alone, we sing one way. When we are singing in other people's presence, then we sing in a different way. So same action can be done depending upon what is our center of consciousness. Where is our center of consciousness? So what is the way to counter this for devotees? If the aim is to be a famous singer, it has nothing to do with all these things. That their self-observation also will be there. But it is how nicely I can sing, whether I am making any mistake, etc., etc., etc. But here, how am I reacting? Suppose somebody didn't appreciate my singing. Then what type of reaction? If I am singing for Thakur, I don't care what other people think. I only care for Thakur's reaction. But if I am singing for other people's appreciation, then it counts, it is most valuable for me. Whether Thakur is pleased or not, the idea doesn't come. So self-observation. I am meditating. Okay, you are meditating. Before entering into the shrine room for meditation, you are in fairly happy mood. And when you have finished your meditation and come out in a fairly, you know, depressed mood. Many people don't take notice. And they say, oh, we finished our meeting. Then why this? You should have been more cheerful after coming. Because God is Ananda Swarupa. Ananda, Ananda, Prathegu Bandide, Ananda Swarupa Namma Purandara Vetala. Ekada? Ramana, Rama Nama Payasa Krishna Nama Sakare. So, Ananda. Why Ananda? If you know the meaning, is in the end it comes. Ananda is, I am belching Ananda. So, if you eat garlic, what will you belch? Thakur's. And Thakur's words. And if you have filled your stomach with pure happiness, then what type of belch will come? Happiness. So, Purandar Dasa was writing, why should I belch? Because upon whom am I meditating? This is all about comparing. I am eating this paisa. What is this paisa? Ram Nama, Krishna Nama, Vittal Nama, this is. And that being whose name I am filling myself with, drinking myself, Ibare Ramarasa, Duri Krita Pataka Samsarga, Parama Pavitri Krita Pashanda, Janana Marana Bhaya, Shoka Vidura, Shuka Shaunaka Kaushika Mukha Pita. Even though slightly deviation, Shuka, Bhagavatam. From whose face, mouth Bhagavatam has come? Shuka. And how can Bhagavatamrita come from his mouth? And unless he is full with, he is drunk. Yeah, it is said, Bhagavatam, one verse comes first itself. Shuka means two meanings are there. It means parrot. And Shuka means Shukadeva. Rishi. So, is this a, if any jampandu, what is that called? English?
Gava.
Gava, when it is almost ripe, almost, not completely ripe, then the parrot pecks a little bit. And that which is pecked by the parrot and left there, that turns out to be the tastiest fruit. Is it? Probably it is also true because that helps in maturing very quickly or whatever it is. I won't go into scientific explanation. So that is the comparison. Why Bhagavatam is so tasty? Because this Shukadeva had pecked it a little bit. What an analogy, So, whatever we are full with, that only comes out. And here, this Purandar Dasa is composed. Ananda Swarupa, my Ishta Devata is of the nature of bliss, Chidananda. Therefore, if I am drinking his name, what else should come out? How do I belch? Yeah, if you take this Coca-Cola, what belching comes? So, what is the point? The point is constant self-observation, whether you are meditating or you read a book. After reading a book, you say, what did you read? Next moment if you forget, that doesn't show. You have to remember because you are interested. Whatever we are interested, we remember. Anything, gardening or cooking or anything, if we are interested, we will never forget. Yeah. So that is why constant self-observation. Then we are constantly also singing songs. For one example, Vaishnava Janato Teene Kahiye. Who is a Vaishnava? Vaishnava means devotee of God. Who is a devotee of God? He who knows the pain of others. The whole song is full of this. And he is not coveting others' property, others, other women, other this. And then his heart is filled with compassion. He only delights in God's name, etc. Janas Tulichu. Put up. wonderful meaning. That's why it has become famous, very dear to Gandhiji. Yeah. Narasimha Mehta. The composer. Narasimha Mehta, a Gujarati saint. Any Tyagaraja. Anybody. So it's that first day I asked Padmanabhan to sing. Sangeeta Jnanama Vina Bhakti. Without devotion, Sangeeta Jnana is only for, it has its result. A good musician can earn respect, money, etc., etc. But that's not the true purpose of Sangeeta, especially if you are singing about devotional songs without devotion, then it's a kind of hypocrisy. Okay, there are so much choices that you sing some other songs. It's fine. So constant self-observation also lets us know where is our center of consciousness by our actions and reactions. Sri Ramakrishna also has an analogy. You know, a tortoise lays its eggs on the banks of a river or pond or whatever, tank. And then it goes in. Where, he says, where is its mind? Not on the bank. On the egg. It doesn't care for the bank. It is on its egg. Even a crocodile is a good example. Crocodile, you know, you have ever seen? These are all wonderful lessons we have to learn. Then we understand. We understand even without seeing all that. But if you can see that, you can understand very graphically. I have seen it. The crocodile, it lays eggs on ground some distance from the, and then covers it with leaves, etc. And its ears are constantly tuned. And then when these young ones are coming out from the eggs, they make a very pathetic sound. Very like that. Exactly like that. And then the mother, the first one comes, and then it knows exactly when the babies are coming forward. It goes there, and one by one, with infinite love, it takes it into its, sometimes it is hanging off like that, like your spaghetti, like that, it is coming like that. And then it comes and deposits in the water, because they can't live for long without her protection. It's very, very ferocious. She will attack anything in the way, if you come across nearby. And then all the young ones it transports, and then so the other crocodiles want to eat it. Eat the small ones. Then, whenever she can't defend like that, they are free, she opens her mouth. All of them jump into its mouth and it closes. How gently it closes. If any prey, then in one way it closes. Now it is closing so gently. Nothing happens to those small ones. And then it goes on moving. Of course, the other one cannot attack it. And then, when the danger is past, again it opens its mouth. All of them go out and joy swimfully. What is the point? Where is its mind? Even though it is there, where is its mind? Mind is there. Like that, this is a wonderful example Thakur gives. Whatever you may be doing, whether it's gardening or cooking or office work, where is your mind? A mother's. This is a beautiful illustration again. Psychology. I think Eric Fromm gives this example. A farmer and his wife, they had just had a small baby. All the three are sleeping on the cot. And then it is the slightest change in the weather, immediately the farmer comes awake. And the mother is deep asleep. Even if the baby is bawling, the fellow will not know. You see, baby is only there. But the slightest change in the temperature, he comes out all because his mind is on the crops. And the mother is totally insensitive to the weather change. But the slightest whimper change in the baby, immediately she comes out alive. This is to illustrate the fact that our attention is focused where our center of consciousness lies. So you can multiply these examples. So constant self-awareness to monitor. So what is happening? How are we acting? How are we reacting? These are the two actions. That is why karma yoga is so very essential. Karma yoga means what? Not only doing karma, but the observing the reactions. When we are doing karma, then only we know who is a sadhaka or who is not a sadhaka, how much we are interested as such. It is for that purpose karma. Let me illustrate it. Suppose a person wants to realize God. He goes to a Himalayas cave and he is sitting there. Now and then he goes to the village and gets some bhiksha and he is quite happy. Imagine he is quite advanced. He can live all by himself. He is doing japa, meditation, everything. How does he know he is making further progress in spiritual life? Illustration is, Swami Brahmanandaji's teachings there is. And Swami Brahmanandaji was staying at Kankal. And one of his disciples was staying at Rishikesh. And this disciple had some kind of vision. And he thought it was samadhi. So he started telling everybody, by the grace of God, I had samadhi. Then one day he came to see Swami Brahmanandaji. And Swami Brahmanandaji talked with his own disciple, talked with him, sent him away. And afterwards, others who heard about this, they were waiting for his reaction. He said, I looked into his eyes. That was not at all samadhi. It was purely some kind of vision experience he had, but nothing to do with samadhi. And then he remarked, now after hearing from me, you go back and refer to that incident, eternal companion. Why? I looked into his eyes, and then it was nothing to do with samadhi. He had some kind of small experience. And then he remarked, this is how many sadhakas go astray, thinking that they have entered samadhi state and they mistake because there is no one to correct them that this is not samadhi state. But how to know whether it is samadhi? So long as this man is in the Himalayas, no temptation is there and no other person to say, yes, you are great or you are worse or whatever it is. All he is concerned only about himself. He is not even thinking about anybody else. Suppose the same person comes down and meets other people. And then suppose the most beautiful woman comes near him. So who is a beautiful woman? There is no outside standard. Who is a beautiful, who is not. Whoever attracts us, that person is beautiful. Simple definition. Whoever draws our attention, that is the most beautiful person. Whether that person is beautiful or not doesn't matter. For us, it is the sufficient distraction. When there is nobody to distract him, he is smug. Oh, I am very spiritual. My mind is there. But when he comes into the society, he might encounter. In fact, this is a very common experience. And then there will be maybe hidden expectations. That is why I mentioned, you know, Vishwamitra, when he went out for tapasya. Why do you think Indra sent all these women? Do you think Indra is our enemy? our greatest friend. God only sent him to help us find out what are our weaknesses. Then you see, if you don't have weakness, that's why I always give this example, you know. Suppose there is a baby and Indra sends some nice woman. Do you think he'll be tempted? You know, he'll be looking at them, all over them. Why? Whether there is any chocolate or ice cream is in their hands or not. And they are thinking, mistaking that this fellow, oh, he likes us. They are attracted to us. No, he has got his own matlab. So temptation will never be able to come to us unless there is a hidden desire within us. You have to understand that. No one can tempt you. Even God cannot tempt you. Don't you see? It's our common experience. Don't you see? You understand what I am talking about? We are not attracted to God because, so far as we are concerned, there is nothing we can gain from God. That is why we are not longing for Him. So, if we do not have temptations or desires, sometimes they are hidden. These sadhakas go astray. Oh, even advanced sadhaka, I talked about jealousy. Is the most prevalent, you scared, like common cold. But even you can't compare it to common cold because common cold manifests only occasionally. But this is manifesting day and night. In every way. We can't tolerate other persons being praised. We can't tolerate other people. Even if we think that nobody is praising. But if we think that others are great in some way, the canker starts. Constant self-observation. This is only the lower part of what Maharaj really meant. The higher part is, what is the nature of God? Pure consciousness. So, by sadhana, what are we going to, what is our goal? To become more and more and more conscious. Is it not? So, this constant self-observation only enlarges our sense of consciousness. Now, self-consciousness also acts like a mirror. In the beginning, we are only observing other things, paying attention. Then the attention shifts to consciousness itself. How well I am observing? What is my self-consciousness? It is an automatic process that takes place. Your self-consciousness itself becomes aware of itself. And constantly being aware of itself, that becomes enlarged, enlarged, enlarged. Until in the end, there is no other object excepting pure consciousness. You see, what is meditation? Our common mistaken notion is, there is an object. It can be a form of God. And we want to concentrate on that object. When that object is very, very clear in our mind, we know that we have become conscious. But that is only the beginning. Like target practice. Target practice. I'll tell you a little bit about target practice. Guru is a target practice. What is spiritual life? To look upon everything as manifestation of God, isn't it? So we choose, why do we choose a guru? Guru may be a very ordinary person. Don't worry whether he is enlightened guru or not. Sometimes we are, you know, such stupid fools. Here is a child. He wants to know what is 2 plus 2. And he expects Einstein to be his teacher. In fact, if Einstein comes as a teacher, what is the point? You can only receive as much as you are capable of receiving. Kada. So that is why even if a person knows how to add 2 plus 2 and you don't know, he is more than sufficient for you for that step. Anyway, this is what we have to understand. So constant, you think that if I can focus on this object, that has nothing to do with meditation. Meditation is a process of how much I am capable of focusing, not upon what I am focusing. That is why Tishanma used to say scientists are much nearer to God than ordinary people. They have two extraordinary qualities, or rather three. First quality is their goal is absolutely fixed. Most of the scientists, this is what we want to achieve. Secondly, they are highly disciplined. They won't allow their attention to be drawn here and there. You know, if a chemist will not allow his mind to go to zoology or biology or geology or other ologies, he will only focus upon chemistry. Thirdly, they have highly developed power of concentration. So goal is fixed, they are highly disciplined, and they have developed the power of concentration. Only thing is, if they can redirect that type of mind to God, then who do you think will reach God? Yeah. It's a funny incident, you know. One Boshi Shen was there. Boshi, he was a scientist. Jagdish Chandra Bose assistant for a long time. And he was a great favorite of Swami Brahmananda.
Yes.
And he used to prepare the hookah for Maharaj. And we think that Maharaj is addicted to hookah. Most of the time he was not even aware whether there is a hookah is there or not. So once, whenever he, this Boshi Sen goes to Belur Math, meets Swami Brahmananda, he says, Boshi, prepare one hookah for me. And once he was asked, he prepared hookah. It was perfect. Because if the charcoal is not burning brightly, or is burning brightly, half consumed, and then you put the tobacco, and it won't last long because that has got only. But he prepared it just exactly right quantity of tobacco at the right temperature. Everything was right. Maharaj took one puff, said, Boshi, one more chillum like this, I will give you Brahmagnana. Wow. Then another incident comes to my mind. Swami Premanandaji. No, Brahmanandaji. He told the people there. You know, in Belur Math in the earlier days, everybody has to help in the dressing the vegetables. He gave one potato. And then he asked them, you peel it and bring it. I will tell you whose meditation, who is good in meditation. Right? So, all the potatoes were brought with the owner's name, etc. He then instantaneously picked up one potato and said, that Swami Shuddhananda.
Yeah.
He is because that peel, it is sometimes, you know, while peeling, we take out a lot of that real thing also, throw away. Sometimes patchy work, like stupid barbers like that, Tirupati barbers like that. So that potato was perfect. That means what? He was paying all attention to that. A man who has developed that kind of power of concentration, whether he studies a scripture, whether he meditates upon God, or whether he is talking to somebody, his work will be perfect. So, you know, another example would be Swami Shuddhananda. Sharat Maharaj, he was the general secretary. And lot of accounts have to be. In those days, no calculators were there. They had to calculate only by mentally. And who is Kata? You can just you try. You just try. Figures to add. So Sharat Maharaj, you know, in his old age, he could not do all those things. He was meticulous. So if some signature has to be put that this account is good, he will ask, who did this? Then somebody will say, Swami Shuddhananda has gone through this. Even he will close his eyes and put signature. Swami Madhavananda's name, he will put his signature. Anybody else, he will go through it again. So that is the power. It doesn't matter. A concentrated mind will be concentrated on any subject. Yeah. It's a funny thing that, you know, for our edification, some people, devotees, you know, they prepare paisa. They have become almost old. And that means they are cooking for 50 years or more, or even more. And they bring. The rice is 3/4 cooked. You can see, 3/4 cooked. You know, when this paisa is made, everything should be, proportionate. Either more rice, less milk, or more milk, less rice. And what type of rice they put. This is an art. When you do pongal, you don't do pongal with fine basmati rice. Thick rice. So, for every particular purpose, there is a type of suitable rice, which grain, which is suitable for that particular purpose. So I have seen so many of these devotees, good devotees. What about devotion is this? 50 years you are cooking, still it is half cooked rice. Can't you understand? I have got no eyes. I say, you know, I always remember Sarvadevananda's story. Indrani, that Houston, Indrani. You know, she always falls. And always she blames Thakur for falling. One lady was there, very nice lady. So she was excellent cook of sweets. So she falls very often. Once Swami Sarvadevananda was with her, she fell down immediately. Thakur amake kyanam ye kurichi. He simply said, Amma, when you walk, open your eyes, you'll see what is in front of you and walk. What has this got to do with the Thakur? Yeah. I can apply this to Thakur also. You know, he broke his arm. Why don't you watch where you are going and what is on a railing? He fell on a railing and broke his wrist. Unfortunately, Holy Mother came after 2 days. The first question he asked was, when did you start? He said, Thursday afternoon. That's more than enough for you. He said, that is why I broke. If I were there, I would have told him, when you walk, you know, when you want to practice samadhi, come to your room and then lie down on the bed and then go into as much samadhi as you want. Yekhane shekhane samadhi practice korbe. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, whatever a concentrated mind does, he does it better than non-concentrated mind. This is the fact. You can see the difference between yourself, where you are focusing and where you are not focused. I am not saying by this that every focused mind becomes expert in everything. What I am saying is, some people have special talent. Even the most concentrated mind cannot become a good singer just because he has got a concert. But he can understand the intricacies of the music. Where he has gone wrong, where he has done right, this they can understand. But singing is a different affair. That is, if the voice should be alright, the lungs should be alright, everything. So constant self-observation should bring to our notice, first of all, where is our center of consciousness, and secondly, at what are our, how we are acting and reacting. So I was giving the example of this man who is doing tapasya in Himalayan caves. He comes, and then it may be possible that his expectations may be there. Oh, some people will recognize me as a sadhu who did tapasya and returned. Why they are not recognizing my talent, etc. Or some other way. If he is going like Shukadeva, that's why they give the example of Shukadeva. You know, 7 days, he was totally neglected. You know that? This is, in the gospel, Shukadeva's story is given. Shukadeva was born Gnani. But without Guru's certificate, he is not sure, he was not sure whether his knowledge was complete, total or not. So his father, who was a great Gnani himself, Vyasadeva, he told him, you are a perfect Gnani. But he may be thinking that out of affection, father is certifying me. So his father understood. He said, you know, you go to King Janaka, and if he certifies, because King Janaka was known as Brahmarshi in those days, so you get certificate. Shukadeva heard about him, he started. And so Janaka knew about, they had that capacity. So he told his people, don't take notice of when he comes, let him wait for 7 days. Never take any notice. He was sitting right next to the main entrance. Hundreds of people were coming in, going out. Everybody was taking, but nobody was even looking at him. Complete negligence. Nobody asked him whether you had food or this or that. 7 days, it was. Then after 7 days, King Janaka, he rushed with all these, golden plates and attar and all that. Oh, what a terrible sin I committed. Like this, you know, I just came to know that you have come. Oh, it's out of time, you know, any excuse. And with all the greatest honor, he was taken inside and he was lodged in the most comfortable palatial house. And then most beautiful young ladies, day and night, they were fanning him. This is bright royal food. If he sneezes, 100 hands rush to clean him. For 7 days, he was completely drowned in this luxurious way of living. There was absolutely no change in his expression. When he was neglected, he was like that. And when he was fitted like that, there was. Then Janaka Maharaj came and said, there is nothing you need to learn. You are absolutely perfect. Do you see the symbolism of this? This world constantly, either it is giving you the negative thing, are giving you the positive thing. Something or other it is giving. How do we react towards it? Ramnama, there is one, this is Tatha namamle vanavasa dukkata mukhambuja shri raghunandanasya. You know, when Rama came to know that Patapsheka was going to happen, his face did not change. And next moment when he came to know that you have to go for 14 years vanavasa, nothing happened. You know that Ramnama? Nothing happened. Absolutely. Mukhambujasri Raghunandanasya Tatha na mamle. He did not become molin. Molinu hoyenai. He did not, bloom like thousand petaled lotus when he heard he was going to be made into a prince. He did not shrink, what do you call, become depressed when he heard that he had to go for 14 years. Tathana mamle vanavasa dukkata mukhambuja shri రఘునందనస్ సదాస్తు మే మంగళ మంజుల ప్రద. వై ఈజ్ ఈ టెల్లింగ్? ఇట్స్ ఫర్ అవర్ ఎడిఫికేషన్, నాట్ ప్రైజింగ్ రామచంద్ర. యూ డోంట్ నీడ్ టు ప్రైజ్ రామచంద్ర, వెదర్ యూ ప్రైజ్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఈజ్ ది రామచంద్ర, బట్ ఫర్ అవర్ లెసన్. సో ఎవరీ టైమ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు లెర్న్ దిస్ లెసన్ దట్ వీ షుడ్ నాట్ బి ఎఫెక్టెడ్ బై దీస్ థింగ్స్. వాట్ డస్ దట్ మీన్? Does that mean that we have to be constant in a depressed state, dried like a rock, no reaction? No, it means we are already there. What does these things do? What does these things, how does these things affect? You know, I want to give my own type of, you know, analogies. So Bill Gates is sitting in his office. Suddenly his accountant rushes. So disaster has happened. What happened? That yesterday's profits, 1 cent is lost. Next day he rushes with congratulations that today we had made 1 cent more profit. What would be the reaction of Bill Gates' face? Can you understand? Can you imagine that? Even somebody says you lost 1 penny yesterday, 1 cent. Yeah, jet lag. This is called jet lag. I should not use the word penny. Would you be reacting? If you don't react, how do you expect that Bill Gates will be reacting? Even if somebody says 1 million is lost or made, he won't react. If you have some idea of what is called billion. That's why he looks so peaceful. His face looks, you know, very calm and quiet. Have you noticed? Why? Because he already has so much. This addition and loss makes absolutely no impact upon his life. So a realized soul who has attained to that state, it makes these events make no difference at all. Or another analogy is in the dream, somebody comes and then says you won the lottery ticket. Another person comes and says your whole house has been looted. Then you wake up. What is the impact on your mind? We follow what I'm saying? These two events that happened in the dreams, what is their impact upon your mind? Yeah. So in the same way, an awakened person, for him the reality is totally different. There is nothing to lose, there is nothing to gain. So these are all unreal things that happen to him. If we can to some extent maintain that kind of attitude, then we know we are progressing in spiritual. That is why karma yoga is, one meaning of karma yoga is you don't expect. If you don't expect, you won't react. If you expect, you will react. So if you are reacting, that means you are simple. Cause to effect, effect to cause. That is why karma yoga is most important. What is the purpose of karma yoga? Chitta shuddhi. That is why dukheshu anudvigna manaha sukheshu vigata spruha vita raga bhaya krotha sthitadehi munihi uchyate. What a beautiful, we have, that's why I said, even if you read one shloka of Gita, read it with understand. Once you read, just for general reading. But after that, you take up some special verses and go word by word meaning. Some also like that. It helps. So, Iti Shanmar used to tell these two things. First, find out your center of consciousness. and then you know where you are, and then what should be the next step forward. Second is constant self-observation. This is the only way for us to go forward. But unfortunately, you know, whether it is Swamis, whether it is devotees, they are terribly ensnared in Maya. Not looking, not at all looking back. Why am I reacting like this? Is it parochialism, favoritism, nepotism? All these things are prevalent in every organization. They call it here, nice word, lobbying. Yeah. In the Ramakrishna Mission also there is lobbying is there. Lobbying. Yeah. You know, it was suppose two centers are there. And both of them invite some president, vice president, like that. And in one center, one Swami, he calls all the devotees and says, you fellows get initiated. So 200 people, they sign up for initiation. 300 people, 400 people. And then, Maharaj, you have to stay with us for 10 days because 400 people. In the next, he goes to the next center. Hey, dikkatika ne bine ki kyo. Hey, Maharaj, sam pachisti rijyan, bol chilo. They are indicating, saying that they might take initiative. Now, whose lobbying power will be greater? See, these things will happen in organizations. Every organization will have some, they will get up some people, they have their own special club, officer special club. Somebody wants to curry favor with the boss and then do all those things. And that is happening. That is normal thing in the world. Should it happen in a spiritual world? Spiritual organizations? Should never happen. If it happens, that organization is ruined. This is how ruination came to this Catholic mission. So this will happen to other organizations, to Buddhism also it happened, Christianity it happened, and then in Ramakrishna Mission also it happens. Nobody is caring. Now we want to show that we are very, very capable people. They also judge people, which person is, you celebrated Swami Vivekananda's 150th birthday, and how many people you invited? And how many Swamis have come? How much money you spent? Yeah, I'm telling the secrets. Then how many people you brought by business class? So you invite somebody and bring him by economy class. That has some marks. But if you bring those higher ups in the business class, and then, this Swami na, khub bhalo chale na, dynamic. Yeah, and then the Swami also is devotees. He will tell, you know, we are spending so much of money, so you have to pay so much of money. And the devotees also, it's like that only. Yatha guru tatha shishena, they will also pay. What is the point? Point is it the indication of any spirituality? It need not be. So what is the real indication? Are you aware how much money you spent? Suppose you spent 100,000 for the celebrations. And afterwards, at the same time, there is some famine or something is going on. Where should the money be spent? What do you want? What is the celebration business? You want to give some speeches, you give meeting, you're mostly eating. Is going on. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. What do you get out of it after that? Accepting that excitement and that thing. After everything is over, where are you left? what are you left with? Oh, we went, we all went there, hundreds of, yes, hundreds of people were there. Did you meditate that day? How can I meditate? I was attending Swami's classes and all those things. And like that, you know, we have got a lot of excuses. So this happens. It's a very normal thing that happens. So individually also, I tell you an example. Devotee, family, one child. Child is getting married. This happened recently. I asked, how much did you spend? He said, about 70 to 80,000 pounds.
Wow.
I asked, is it 25,000, 30,000? That person did not tell me. He said, much, much more. You spent 70, 80,000 pounds when Uttarakhand relief work is going on, people are dying, and they things have been washed away, and we are trying to do help some people. And here, and then I ask, interesting, did your daughter enjoy it? This is very truthful person. He said, no, in fact, my daughter didn't want the marriage to take place that way. I said, even if you didn't want to give anybody, so you do it very nicely, in a simple way, and then you call all the friends, etc. Give a decent meal, so that is a normal thing. And whatever money you are intending to spend, give this money to your children, because they can have a, you know, deposit it towards a house, and then, or it will, because they are just starting life. But what is this? Only hotel fellows took the drinks and dances. Devotees dance. Drink and dance. In front of, in the ashrama, Vedanta center, oh, what devotion. There they go and they say it is normal. What is this normal thing? So, if we waste money, you know, there is a psychology involved there. It is a mental attitude. If we waste money, we waste time. If we waste time, we waste energy. And wastage is our attitude. Then that can manifest in different types of wastages. That is the point. Why was Thakur so careful that if somebody, if he wanted a smoke, then if somebody is using a matchstick, he says, why did you use this matchstick? There is Nahabat cooking is going on. You take one burning firewood and bring it here. It would have served the purpose. And if somebody is doing 3-4 times like that, used to scold. Why was he scolding? After all, what is there in a simple matchstick? You lose a matchstick. What is the cost of matchstick even in those days? What is the cost of one matchstick? That's not the point. The point is mental. You see, you are not paying attention. Nothing should be wasted. If you waste anything, you waste your mind also. Because it's the same mind. That is the point. So we have to, a devotee has, there is no such thing called this part is worldly and this part is spiritual. The whole body and mind and activities should all be spiritual only. That is why Zen Buddhism, its only spiritual practice is observe. How are you breathing? How are you sitting? You know, we tweak our noses. What is, you know, there is no purpose. It is a restlessness of the mind. As I mentioned, you know, I think I did mention. Because I go on observing, like Sahasraksha, all the other people's faults. So one person, he came after 5-6 years to the Vedanta Center. Then he was telling his autobiography. Namiji, when I visited you last time, I was very restless. You have to look at me when I'm telling this. But you know now, I am very calm and quiet. You see this, many times you see this kind of thing happening. He is not even aware what he is doing. So, devotees have to be careful about every department of life. And how do we know? Self-observation. If we can have these, put it into practice, these two, then everything else takes care of itself. Or even these two not necessary, just practice self-observation. It will reveal where our consciousness is, where our thoughts are, and what we are really aiming, etc. And it will also tell us where we went wrong, and how we went wrong, and how we could correct ourselves. Oh, everything, self-observation. And if we study Thakur's life, we know how he kept one part of his mind constantly open and say, any deviation from what he desired to do, his own mind takes a concrete form and comes and then tells him. Like, you know, a sannyasi used to come, Paramahamsa, exactly looking like me, he's got a trishula, and he says, if your mind goes here and there, and I will pierce you with this. Who was that sannyasi?
His own mind.
So, our topic is how to know we are
progressing.
So, first, if you don't know where your center of consciousness is, the question of spiritual progress doesn't arise at all. It's a common practice, you know. Even if you want to study something, first they will find out how much you know, and then only they can tell you what further you need to study, is it not? So that is first. Then constant self-observation. There is not even 1 second's this thing. Let's say Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya tells, a sadhaka is like one who is trying to cross the ocean of samsara, an ocean. And always his Mahamaya crocodile is following him. 1 second's self-forgetfulness, she catches hold of him and drowns him forcibly in the ocean of samsara. 1 second's slip is enough to bring us down tumbling. You know, like climbing mountains, one little slip, he may die also, or he may even bring down the other people also. Yeah, there are people who do that. Yeah. Or tight rope walking or whatever it is. Jagi, Tyagi, Mudhata, Anuraga, Srihari. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Okay, now you please go upstairs and have a small talk with Sukma. Sumita.